This is my disclaimer slide, which I've already taken care of, and this is Harlem Hospital. I think it's really important to have an idea what Harlem looks like, because most of you haven't been there. We're on the other side of the country. I don't know how many people flew from the East Coast. But this is Central Harlem, and you can see that everyone is living very vertically. There are no industries here. We have the Harlem River running up there, and there's our hospital, a 17-story hospital that serves this community. Now, when you look at this from air, I was lucky to get, the hospital was doing a promotion, so they hired a helicopter and took this picture. So I'm really was pleased to have a picture, because you can't see the hospital in the middle of the high rises from the ground. It looks very serene and peaceful and lovely from the air. But at this time in 1975, when I went to Harlem Hospital, it was in the middle of the crack cocaine epidemic, and there was literally war on the streets. We had our Governor Rockefeller, who tried to get rid of drug dealing in the state by setting very strict laws about who goes to jail without plea bargaining when they're caught with small amounts of drugs. And at that point, the drug dealers recruited children to do the street drug selling. So we were in the midst of a horrible problem where we had children armed with guns selling drugs on the street and taking the drugs between locations of street drug sellers. They shot each other, and they shot innocent people as well. And we started collecting a huge number of children with gunshot wounds, killed, permanently damaged, or severely injured, who were caught in the crossfire or who were involved in the drug trade. I presented the first 100 cases I saw when I got there in 76, and to the National Pediatric Surgical Association, and no one in the audience had ever seen at that time a child who was shot. Now, of course, that isn't true across the country, because gunshot injuries follow the drug traffic, and that is spread across the country. This I took from my office window. I was on the 17th floor with a telephoto lens, and these are children selling drugs on the street corner across from the hospital. They're armed, and they put us all at severe danger. We had the EMS help us going into the junior high schools, telling the children to be known not to carry a weapon is protective. If people know you're carrying a gun, they may shoot you before they decide whether you'll shoot them. So we trained all the seventh graders in the community from the very beginning of the crack epidemic not to carry weapons, how the 911 system worked, what to do when you saw something going down in the street, how to keep safe, and that if you turned in something, it was anonymous if you not dialed 911 and no one would come after you. None of the children we trained we ever saw shot, and I hope that they learned the lesson from the EMS, who are very powerful in giving out messages to adolescents. Our playgrounds in the community were a complete disaster. There were many of them, but they looked like this. Old, damaged equipment. There were no children in the playgrounds. The playgrounds were sites of drug selling and sites of homeless living. We had graffiti everywhere. And as you know, graffiti is a way that gangs communicate with each other and is not something you want in your community. Because the playgrounds and schoolyards were so dangerous, the city set up play streets, so they taught children to play in the streets, and we were seeing children hit by cars constantly because cars would go around the sign, and children thought it was okay to play in the street. And I really think it was silent tears. There was a lot of depression among the children. There was very little joy. They had nothing to do. The schools didn't have art. They didn't have music. They couldn't go outside on the playground for recess because there was open drug dealing on the playgrounds. And after school, there were no after-school programs. With budget cuts, the youth programs had gone, and there were very few things for them to do except to go on the street and get injured or sit at home in front of the television set and get fat. The School of Public Health did the baseline surveillance system for us, which was really important to us. They took 1984 to 1988. They took all the uniform discharge data from the state and the medical examiner data and found out for every 100,000 children, we had 1,276 children injured severely enough to be admitted to the hospital. And this was twice the city rate and twice the national rate. Now, I can't tell you how important this was to us, because we wanted to make a difference for the children in the community. And we could not have done it without the data, because every time I wrote a grant in the beginning, before we had data, I would get back my little pink slip that said, no, you small group of people in the middle of this stressed community cannot make a difference. So I was never funded. But once I had the data, I could make a really compelling argument that we could see, could we make a difference with a little bit of funding? The Robert Wood Johnson Foundation funded us in 1988 and has funded us ever since. It was a good thing. No federal grant would have given us a grant to do what we wanted to do in the community. Now, what's injury? We include intentional and unintentional injury in terms of what we're concerned with, which not all people do. Injury is physical, but it's also psychological. We found a lot of our children injured by assaults, gunshot wounds, and stab wounds really had post-traumatic stress disorder, and we had to deal with their psychological problems as well. So when we set up our program, funded by RWJ, our mission was to prevent injuries to children, but to create really a safe community, to work on the unsafe aspects of our community life. When you look at injury prevention, people talk about education, which we do. They talk about environmental change, which we do. They talk about enforcement of laws, which has been really important. They talk about engineering, like making safer cars, very important. But we added mentoring because we felt we couldn't deal with this problem in the community without adult mentors to help our children get through this difficult period of time in the community and to get their lives on the right track. We set up a model, which is what we were funded on, to use the data to educate the community. Because we only had a little tiny grant, we knew we had to build coalitions of people who were interested in children and who would bring resources to the table. This was very good that we had very little money. Never think it's bad to have very little money. Because we had very little, we had to be inventive. And we found people, private citizens, people elected to government, community organizations, people who cared about children, who would bring resources to the table and help us change the community. This was essential. To do it alone, you would do it to the community and nothing would work. But to get people to rise up and say, I want to make a difference, was important. We knew we had to change the physical environment of the community and the social environment. We made specific programs and we continued to evaluate them. That's me with black hair. I had just finished photographing every public park and school in Harlem, and there the commissioners. You can see how happy they were that I made this wonderful photo essay showing how they violated consumer product safety standards. But to their credit, they said, we'll fix it, and they did. In a year and a half, they redid every public park in Harlem. This is the wall that was graffiti before. The children and our artists painted the surfaces. It's been painted another time now, because that's 20 years ago. It got rid of graffiti. Children don't graffiti their own artwork. We started an art studio in the hospital. We started a dance studio in the hospital. The children dance 12 hours a week, get help with their schoolwork and everything else. And actually, Dr. Hegarty, who's our head of pediatrics and helped us all along, said that I turned the hospital into a settlement house. It's okay because it was really good for children. However, every time my CEO changed, I had to run downstairs with all the data to show him why children were in the hospital all weekend in tights and tutus. And they didn't always understand, but the parents supported it and sent letters and called them to tell them they wanted this. The children travel all over the world and learn cultural dances, and they teach jazz and hip hop where they go. They bring the cultural dances back to perform here in the States, and they've been all over the world, and they go on to college. The staff, the adult mentors help them with their SATs and with getting scholarships. All the traveling children have private scholarships to private schools in New York City. We worked with the parents in the community to restart a Little League, which we hadn't had in 20 years, because we knew if we fixed the parks, we needed positive activities there to keep out the bad activities. So we have 850 children who play Little League every year in Harlem. Our head nurse's husband and his stockbroker friends spend every Saturday of the winter teaching baseball skills in one of our park houses to continue the adult mentoring during the winter. And we started an urban youth bike corps with young men from the community. It's wonderful. During the winter, they study, they go around and see different things they can do with their lives. They travel to school interviews. In the summer, they ride all summer. They ride to Montauk Point, to Bear Mountain, 30 miles a day. They go home, they go to sleep, they stay out of trouble. And this program was funded by the Juvenile Justice Department as delinquency prevention. So as we started to work, and these are just the school-age children, but we also worked on little children too, our injury rates kept going down, and as they kept going down, Robert Wood Johnson Foundation continued to fund us. Finally, they said in 2000, would you be interested in being one of our national programs? We will give you a grant to spread your program across the country. And we said, of course, we would love to do that. We already were working with 5 hospitals to set up programs, but to get funding to do 40 hospitals was wonderful. We changed our model in to analyze the data, and we made every site get their own data, local data. Build a coalition, because we knew now that you had to have a coalition from your own area to work on these problems. Communicate the problem to everyone who will listen. We went to mosques, churches, synagogues, local community groups, PAs, to tell them what the problem was and to get their ideas, and to develop interventions that will make your community safer for kids. And you must evaluate to know that what you're doing makes a positive difference. These are our 44 injury-free sites. They're all across the world. They're all across the country. It feels like the world to me. And they're in all 10 health districts in this country, which are also the 10 trauma districts. Now, we found during the course of our work that playgrounds are a symbol of this lasting coalition partnership. We also found that building playgrounds with the community involvement led to community renewal. It decreased pedestrian injuries because kids were in the playground, and it helped children heal. It helped children find joy. So before the ribbon is cut in the playground and the children get to refind their joy, a lot of work goes into it. These are grandparents building in Harlem, Pittsburgh Steelers building in Pittsburgh, Vice President Gore building in Kansas City, Ehrman and Biloxi helping us build a playground for Katrina's children that we've done 4 now with the help of Allstate. These are adolescents in Chicago helping to build a preschool playground in the summertime, and adolescents in Providence painting murals for their children's playgrounds. We even had little school children in Detroit who work with the Allstate representatives to plant flowers and bushes for their playground. The Cub Scouts helped to mulch the gardens. We found joy in Harlem. We've built 110 playgrounds. There's joy in the Tricycle Park in Providence. There's joy in Little Rock, where the playground had to be green and tan because of the danger of blue and red with the Crips and Bloods. The children all thank us wherever we go. These are children in Biloxi thanking us for their playground. It takes a whole village to raise a child, but believe me, it takes a whole village working together in coalition, in partnership, to make a community safer and healthier for children. So safer communities mean no more tears. Please look at our website. You can see what we're doing. If you want to join one of our projects, you can see it. We're doing 5 more playgrounds in New Orleans. If you want to help us in any way, you can help us too. On our website are videos for our national program that you can look at right on your computer, one for our obesity prevention program, which goes along with injury prevention, and also one for our playground project and one for safety centers in hospitals and on the road. So I encourage you, look at our website, look at the videos. If you want a video, you have to just contact us and ask for a copy. And we don't charge you, but we ask, if you ask for a copy of a video, that you make your own private donation to our program through the website. Thank you.